Well then, for those of you who are just joining us, please allow me to say one more time, welcome to Healing with the Arts Telesummit, How Art and Medicine is Changing Healthcare and Lives Today. And in this segment, we are with Kathy DeWitt. And the title of her presentation is My Unexpected Journey into Music and Medicine and Its Amazing Results. Now, as a hospital musician for 20 years in the renowned Shands Arts in Medicine program at the University of Florida, she's seen firsthand the power of music at the bedside. And she's going to share some poignant and powerful stories, as well as some of the latest research on the effects music can have on many different patient populations. And participants will even have a chance to experience a demonstration of some of the healing and soothing instruments used in the healthcare setting. Kathy's going to play some of those for us tonight, so this is really going to be cool. Now, Kathy is an international award-winning songwriter and performer, and she's traveled and toured extensively as a jazz, folk, and New Thought artist. One place she never expected to do this was in a hospital setting. But in the early 90s, her journey as a musician in residence for Shands Hospital's Arts in Medicine program began, and she has risen to be one of the leaders in this field. And Kathy has shared the stage and the airwaves with innumerable artists, musicians, and authors, including Pete Seeger, Dave Brubeck, Alan Cohen, Marianne Williamson, Alex Gray, and Dr. John Graham Pohl. And her discography and publications, by the way, are listed on her websites, kathydewitt.com and thetraveler.us. And we'll give you those websites again at the end of tonight's presentation. But for right now, please let me say welcome to Healing with the Arts, Kathy.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
Well, perhaps we could begin tonight with you telling us just a little bit of how you got into this field. I mean, we heard a little bit about it here in your bio, but how did you get into this field, and what were some of the first things you did once you got there?
Well, you know, I had heard about the Arts and Medicine program here at Shands Hospital, and I thought it sounded great and that they were doing really good things, but it wasn't any place I ever expected to be, being how I was the kind of person who would faint when they prick your finger to take your blood. So I would go around and went to different talks and different groups and organizations that I was in and told them how great this arts and medicine thing was. And then some of the people who I knew in the program, some of the artists, were kind of trying to reel me in, and they kept kind of grabbing me and say, come on, you come in and be part of us. You come in and play with us. So I finally did. And Mary Rockwood Lane was there, and she would point her finger and say, make it so, kind of like Captain Picard on the Star Trek. And so I decided to start with a concert series on pediatric oncology for kids with cancer. And I was a little nervous, so I brought a girlfriend with me who plays in a band with me. She's still doing this after 20 years. We've been playing together now, more than that, really. But she came and brought the banjo, and we were in a bluegrass group together called Patchwork. But at that time, that wasn't even true. But she brought her banjo in, and we were at the pediatric oncology, kind of a family room area where kids and their family members could come and hang out and have some kind of activities for the evening. So we were in there playing some music, and kids were there with their IV poles, and their siblings were there, and this little girl said, I've got to go get my sister. She's got to come and hear the music. So she went down the hall with one of the staff members, and they went into the room where her little sister was in the bed, curled up in pain. And her mom said, no, she can't come. She's not feeling well enough. But the little girl said, it's going to make her feel better. She's got to come. She's got to come. Let's put her in the wagon. So they put her in the little red wagon, and they brought her down the hall. And as she was getting closer to the room, she started sitting up in the wagon and her eyes opened wide and she started bouncing around up and down. And by the time she came into the room, she was smiling and bobbing and dancing around in that wagon. And her sister was saying, "See, Sissy, don't you love the music?" And all the kids were dancing around with their ivy poles. And, you know, I just decided, wow, I guess I can do this. It was pretty special.
Well, it sounds really special. I bet you have many, many amazing experiences like that. Could you share a few more of those for us?
Well, sure. One of the first things I did when I got there, too, was to I wrote a grant to get a piano for the lobby so that we could have music every day. They already had a performance series, but it was only about once a month, and not having a piano kind of limited it. So once I got the piano in, then I could screen people to play piano in the lobby, and I could play there myself, and we had people, you know, because I've been a musician in the community for so many years, I know a lot of folks who play. So once they got there, you know, they loved doing it, just like it happened for me. So now we have, you know, we started having piano music every day and concerts every week and in the lobby, and also concerts on other units, like where we did the pediatric oncology concert, as well as doing the bedside music. And some of the first patients I met doing bedside music were a couple of little girls who were both 5 years old. They were on the bone marrow transplant unit. They weren't related, but they were the only 2 5-year-old girls there, so they became good friends. So actually Jill Sonke, the dancer in residence, who's now co-director of our program, she and I both worked with these girls, and one of them had created a metaphor for her chemo treatment. She said that the chemo came down from the stars and it cleansed her body and made her well, and then she would clean the stars off and toss them back up to heaven so that they could keep shining and get used again. So this kind of reminded me of a song that I knew called Bright Morning Stars, and I changed some of the words to make it more like her story, so I'll do a little bit of it for you. It goes like this. Bright morning stars are rising, bright morning stars are rising, bright morning stars are rising, day is a breaking in my soul. Gonna take them down and clean them. Gonna take them down and clean them. Gonna take them down and clean them. Day is a breaking in my soul. Gonna throw them back to heaven. Gonna throw them back to heaven. Then the stars will shine like music. Day is a breaking in my soul. And while I was singing that, Jill would be dancing it. And the little girls would be kind of dancing with us and throwing around their scarves. And so it was quite amazing. And I really liked the fact that we would often kind of get into these collaborative pieces like that. And maybe someone would also paint a picture or draw a picture of the stars or the chemo treatment. One man had a picture of his chemo treatment. He drew the flower that it actually came from, because it actually comes from this rainforest flower, this beautiful purple flower. So instead of thinking it as something ugly or some kind of poison, he was making it into a beautiful thing that was helping to heal him and make him well. So I love the way that the arts can create a metaphor so that you can change your perspective on your experience there in the hospital. And by the way, that's a nice way for people to use music in their own lives, too. You can take a song like that that's a familiar song or a traditional song and change the words and put your own words to it so that it fits with your life and your experience. And as Pete Seeger always said, there's no such thing as a new melody anyway. You just change a couple of notes here and there and, you know, put in the words that you want, and then you have a new song.
Mary, would you like to add anything?
Well, what I want to say is Kathy is a shaman as a contemporary woman, going into a very traditional major medical healthcare system and bringing in the arts. And she works as a musician with Jill, who's a dancer, and they have been able to create this incredible energy that totally transforms the environment. And not only do they sit at the bedside working with one person and changing one person's life experience, what they've actually done at the Shands Arts and Medicine program, they've actually transformed a whole community, a hospital system, where there's an openness to the beauty of just listening to Kathy sing that song, that's happening in rooms, it's happening in hallways, it's happening in the atrium, there's a piano playing. In this environment, it's as if music is just creating experiences of transcendence that makes this environment powerfully healing. And what Kathy's doing is phenomenal and incredible. She's one of the people who's really making it happen day in and day out.
Well, thank you, Mary. I really, you know, like I said, I never expected to be doing this in that environment, and now here I am. I've been there 20 years. It's kind of like home to me, and every day I have these amazing experiences. It's just a real privilege to be there and to be with people in these intimate moments. You know, you're invited into this room where someone is just so vulnerable, and here you are, like, treated as if you're a family member or a close friend. You know, and even when people are dying, or people are in a coma and their family members are there, or, you know, it's just amazing to get invited into these situations. And sometimes the experiences, people are so courageous. Things you see, it's almost like they have a golden glow around them sometimes. And I love it, like, when people are, they've been unconscious or they're in kind of a coma-like state, but if I start playing their favorite song, their little feet will start tapping under the sheets. And it's just, I'd love to make a movie sometime about that, the feet under the sheets. It's one of my favorite things.
Feet under the sheets, that's beautiful. I can just see it. Because, you know, Kathy, if you can just imagine being in a hospital environment and Kathy is walking down the hall with her guitar or her harp, and she walks into a room where somebody is on isolation or a child is dealing with a chemotherapy or radiation. And Kathy walks in the room and asks this child and this mother, can I play a song for you? And they look at her with this kind of amazement and curiosity. And she says, can I play some music for you? And they'll ask for a song. And Kathy is one of these master musicians where she just knows exactly the energy and what the patient needs to heal or the person needs to heal. And she begins to sing. And she totally transforms the space to make it a place where someone can close their eyes and go deep within themselves and go to that place inside themselves that's comforted. And Kathy is able to bring these moments to people when she's playing for them in the hospital. And this is truly an example of healing with the arts.
And sometimes you're there and what you're doing is even maybe more for the family members than for the patient. One time I went up and I ran into someone I knew, and he said, I'm going to visit my mom. She's dying. And I said, would you like me to come play some music? And he said, oh, yes, definitely. And we were going up the elevator, and he said, well, my brothers are there, but we don't really speak to each other. We haven't spoken to each other in years. So I thought, oh, that's too bad. Then we went into the room, and the mom was in the bed, and the brothers were all around, and I said, well, what kind of music did your mom like? And somebody said something about, you know, old tunes, show tunes, tunes from movies, songs from movies. And this is one of those moments, Mary, like you're talking about, where the song just comes to me, like it's there in the ethers, waiting for me to notice it and grab it. And so I played Moon River, and at the end of the song, they're all standing around, crying and hugging each other. And he said to me, my mom would play that song on the piano at night when we were going to bed. We would hear that song that she was playing right before we went to sleep. So they had a healing, you know. It was amazing. Music is amazing. It's so powerful.
Well, let me ask you a question about that. from your experience, these amazing and wonderful experiences that you've had, what would you say about the type of music that should be done for various kinds of patients in the hospital?
Excuse me. It's kind of a funny thing. There's a lot of research with generalizations about, well, this kind of music does this and this kind of music does that. And in fact, maybe I should get into that a little bit before getting too deep into this question. I'll talk about the research a little bit. But one answer that I love, that's an answer to that question, is Connie Tomato, Dr. Tomato, who works closely with Oliver Sacks. He's a renowned author and neurologist. Their organization is called the Institute for Music and Neurologic Functions. However, their website is musichaspower.org. It's a lot easier to say, but it's interesting because it's so different from the actual title of the organization. But she says, when you're asked what kind of music should we play for patients, her answer is the kind that the patient wants to hear. And this organization has been doing research for 35 years, and there's a lot of research about the Mozart effect. You know, that people associate the Mozart effect with Don Campbell because that was the title of his book. But he really got that phrase from Alfred A. Tomatis, a French doctor, who invented the phrase in his book, Pourquoi Mozart? He was working with learning disabled children for 30 years and explored the broad applicability of Mozart and claimed to also help adults fight depression, learn foreign languages faster, develop better communication skills, and improve both creativity and performance on the job. And he also had a very specific kind of a listening device that is a therapeutic tool that people use for replacing. It's a headset people put on their ears, and it replaces some of the frequencies that might have been missing when people were born, so that this is a therapeutic tool to help them get over certain problems. But Don Campbell, in his book, The Mozart Effect, popularized the concept. And he's also, even though we lost him, he died about a year ago. But he has a great website, and it's still there, and it's called MozartEffect.com. And it's a great resource for all kinds of research projects and things that have been done about music and the other arts as well. And you can look that up, and you can also see a lot of things at the Global Arts and Health Alliance, which used to be the Society for the Arts and Healthcare, SAH, and that's still their website, the SAH.org, or as we call it, Mary and I called it for many years, the SAH.org. They have a newsletter, they have a toolbox of tools that you can use, and a research database that you can access at their websites. One of my favorite research projects was done with a choir in Frankfurt, Germany, where they took some samples and monitored several things in the blood before and after singing, and they found improvements in energy levels, stress reduction, and improvements in breathing. Natural immune boosters were boosted, and 79% of them claimed intense happiness as an effect of singing. I really like that one. And then the other thing, speaking of intense happiness, have you seen that video that's been going viral for a few years now of the dementia patient named Henry who's sitting in his wheelchair with a tray in the front, and they bring him an iPod and they plug it in. And until they do that, he's pretty lethargic. He's not moving or anything. And as soon as they plug this in and they put it on his ears and he starts hearing the music that he loves, he starts tapping the tray, playing the drums, and he's singing along, and he lights up. And after the music is over, he verbalizes, even though he's basically been nonverbal. He verbalizes about the memories that this music elicits in him. And that's an amazing thing. To me, that's really an area where I'm getting more focused these days, is the areas of aging brain, music and memory. And if you haven't seen that video yet, you can see it at musicandmemory.com. You'll see it on YouTube. And there's a lot of interesting information about why and how people who can't speak or who are in a really lethargic state, almost catatonic sometimes, can actually really almost literally come to life when their music gets played. So that's the key, really, I think, David, in your question is you've got to play their music, what the patient wants to hear. And this is where sort of intuition and a little conversation comes in handy before you actually do the intervention.
Yeah, that just seems to make sense. Mary, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well,
I bet there's lots that you guys could talk about too.
Well, I think what's so powerful is there's 30 years of research in how powerful the modality of music is in healthcare and in healing. And there's tremendous amount of evidence that really talks about how, or not speaks to, but creates evidence in support of data on how music has transformed environments and neonatal units and, you know, decreased anxiety with patients in certain populations, and been able to make a difference in getting an Alzheimer's patient to wake up and begin to become alert and oriented and engaging. And the research is there. And how do we implement the music, and how do we implement the arts in healthcare? And I really think that Kathy has created, you know, her practice has been a real illustration of how we can make a difference in a hospital setting, in a very traditional, powerful medical science-based hospital. And the research is there. So the way we make this happen is people need to ask for it. They need to honor it. They need to engage it. They need to bring music into the procedures that are happening. One thing that we know about music is that music is something very personal. So how we create a special healing experience is very personally driven, unique to the person. So it's really an opportunity for people to bring music into their lives with the intention of creating pleasure, of facilitating peace, using it for meditation, and realizing the experience of music can actually activate a healing physiology.
Yeah, and this is really well researched, Mary.
It's extremely, yes.
There's so much research about it, and even though that we also know it as a very ancient art back in the days of drumming and dancing and shamanic medicine then and all that sort of thing as well. But on the medical area where we are in the Western medical realm, it's good to have this research. And I like to point out that this is also not only valuable in that setting, but this is something that everyone can use in their own lives. And when you're a caregiver, which we all wind up being sooner or later, or at various points throughout our life. You know, what I like about this music and memory organization, as the one of the doctors on one of their videos points out, you know, music is valuable to us all through our life. And we associate memories with it. It can take us back to events that were very special to us. And so why is it that when sometimes our loved ones start getting old and they start losing their memory and their identity, why don't we even think about the fact that bringing them their music can help them recapture themselves and that sense of identity that's lost? You know, they've lost their story. The parts of the brain that start getting damaged early in Alzheimer's and dementia, the hippocampus and the temporal parietal lobe, and it's the brain processes music with so many parts of the brain because there are so many different aspects to it. The temporal lobe and frontal lobe are processing the rhythm and the melody, and the words, the songs are being processed in completely different areas. And the prefrontal lobe has the memory associations, and the motor cortex, you know, is into the movement and the rhythm. And so music is a way to access and reawaken these other parts of the brain that haven't been damaged. And Oliver Sacks also says that it can create a neural pathway back to language if the patient is, you know, suffering from a stroke or something that's temporary, and they can actually eventually get back to language. Music can help reconnect the part of the brain where language lives. And I love this quote from Oliver Sacks where he says, "The past, which is not recoverable in any other way, is embedded as if in amber in the music, and people can regain a sense of identity at least for a while." So you can regain your identity and remember part of your story that's been lost. How valuable is that? And we can all bring that to our loved ones by making them a mix of their favorite music, their old big band songs, or with, you know, for us, it's going to be all the baby boomer music and the, you know, Beatles and the rhythm and blues and all that. I'm definitely going to want that in my mix.
It's so powerful. It's what we want. It's what, this is what's so great, is that I think in healthcare people don't realize that arts is medicine. We're talking about one of the most powerful modalities of healing, and we're remembering in our culture. And when Kathy is bringing this to the bedside and working with patients, it's making, we are at a point, we are at a threshold where we can transform healthcare, because healthcare is changing, and where it's in a crisis. So it's almost like this is an opportunity for us to return to what we know that's authentically healing for all of us and for humanity, not only as an individual, but for the culture, for hospital systems as a whole.
Yeah, it is. It's an opportunity.
It is. Kathy,
hey,
tell
you
know, us
Kathy,
one of the stories of, mm-hmm. of some of the patients that you've worked with. Tell us, you know, how it's been, like a story of somebody that you've actually worked with at the bedside and some of the experiences that you've had.
Well, I did that a lot at the beginning, but I was thinking about, I think David was asking about various kinds of music. And,
right.
And one thing I like to use is the harp. I have this little harp here. Can you hear it?
Yes.
So this is a small harp, which you can hold on your lap. It's called a lap harp or a Celtic harp. And I've taken it into rooms a lot. I had this all over the hospital today. And the interesting thing was that all the nurses and doctors wanted to touch it. They all wanted to strum it. But I can hold this harp right over the bed, you know. I played this the other day with an autistic child who autistic children don't generally like to make eye contact. So what's cool about this is that I can get on one side of the strings and look across the strings at the child and play, and then if he wants to, he can reach up and touch it and play from his side. And he did that, and he just laughed, and it was really fun because he wasn't very verbal at all. But I remember another time when I went into a room, and there was a little boy in the room, and he was kind of curled up in a fetal position, kind of moaning and crying, and his mother said, "Oh, could you stay in here with my son while I go get him some more medicine? He's in a lot of pain." And I said, "Okay, sure." And so she left the room, and I held the harp down to the little boy and strummed it, and he kind of looked up, and I did it again. And then I kind of held it closer to him, and I said, "Do you want to try?" So he reached up and strummed it, and then he started sitting up. He did it again, and then he sat all the way up, and he just started strumming the harp and just did it for about 10 minutes. And when his mom came back in, he'd forgotten his pain. It was amazing. So this harp I have tuned to a pentatonic scale, which is a 5-note scale. So all the notes sound good when played together. So I can play like a thing on the bottom, like a rhythm pattern, and have someone else play up here. You can just make up little songs to it or sing someone's name to them, like, "How are you feeling today?" "Would you like to just do that a lot, just kind of vocalize and make up little songs for people and that kind of thing. So it's tuned like, were you ever around a piano when you were a little kid and you went to the black keys and you played that song with your fist? You just go, remember that?
Yes.
Well, that's the same. That's the pentatonic scale, those black notes. There's only really 5 real notes, and then they just start repeating again. And that's the way it is in the harp. It's like, so it just... So if this is like your basic note, which is... There's no fall.
Right.
There's no T. It just goes back up to Do. So it's really just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's just 5 notes. And that's why they sound so good together. It's the pentatonic scale. That's the same as the black keys in the piano. And we also have the little xylophone called the free notes.
Right.
Have you seen that we take that around and play it too? And the patients love to play that. It's the same scale. It's in that pentatonic scale.
That's beautiful. So this is what you do at the patient's bedside, engaging them and getting them involved in making music and just participating in the beauty of the sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, there's a few songs. Every now and then I come across another song that was just written with these 5 notes. The most famous one, and it's often one of the most requested songs in the hospital setting as well, it goes like this.
Grace. I love that. You know, does everybody know what is the most requested song at the bedside in the hospital?
I think it's that one.
It's that one.
But not everybody will request this. You know, you can't just walk into a room and assume it's going to be their favorite. You have to ask.
Exactly.
They might be of a different religion, you know.
Right.
Then they wouldn't want it. There's other songs, a few other songs that are in this scale. So, you don't have all the notes in this scale, so you can't play
right.
Everything. But, you know, it's fun to do because it's easy to do little duets and just make things up and kind of vocalize with it. And that's the most accessible voice of all. I mean, the most accessible instrument of all, of course, is your voice.
That's right.
You can take that around and you don't have to worry about disinfecting it and all that stuff. You go into isolation rooms and ICUs and... All you have to disinfect is yourself.
That's so true. So tell me what your best experience has been. You know, in your personal life, how has art been healing for you, you know, with your music and in your own personal life?
Well, you know, I had a bad experience several years ago. I was attacked and... I had to, I wasn't hurt too badly or anything, but it was very scary, and I was angry. I was really angry, like, why did this happen to me? I'm a good person. I live a good life, you know. I had this kind of anger, which I think is pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
But I listened to... some music that I listened to a lot of amazing healing heart music from
right.
my friend Christina Torin, who started the International Harp Therapy Program, which I'm involved with. I'm a certified harp therapist from that program. But she plays a big classical harp with, you know, pedals and beautiful lights and jewels on it and all this. And she's been playing harp her whole life. That's her main instrument, where mine really is piano. But I listened to some of her CDs and that healing heart music, and that was really, really good. That was really helpful. And I listened to some Paul Winter music from the special solstice concerts that they do every year in New York, where they bring in a lot of different kinds of ethnic music, and it's all very beautiful, and they play a big gong. And... that was beautiful, too. There's a lot of choral pieces that they do. I think one of my earliest experiences actually was I sang in the church choir, and one day when I came home from school, my mom told me that my cousin, who had lived with us for a while when I was very young, but he was so nice to me. I was a toddler, and he was a teenager, but he would play with me and hold me on his lap and be nice to me instead of, like, you know, treating me
right.
like my own brothers do. You know how that is. So anyway, I came from school one day, and she told me that he had died. And he was in the Air Force trying out these new airplanes, and I was so shocked. And she said, I know you have choir practice at church today, and if you want to, you can go. But if you don't want to, you can stay home, just whatever you feel like you need to do. And I said, well, I'll go. And I went and sang, and it made me feel better.
Right.
You know, that was like one of my first experiences with the healing modality of music in my own life. I was about 8 years old.
That's so beautiful. You know, music is one of the most powerful ones. It just seems like it creates a resonance or a vibrational energy that's deeper than words, that is a very sensual and embodied experience. And I know it shifts our physiology, but it seems like it's deeper than that. It's almost like it reaches us at a vibrational, energetic, and soul level. Can you talk to that?
Well, it does. I mean, that's what I think was sort of what they're talking about in this bit about how the brain processes music. It just reaches in so many places. It reaches the emotional center. It reaches the memory center. It reaches the physical center. It reaches the, the movement and wanting to dance and that kind of thing center, you know, the motor cortex. And Oliver Sacks had his own experience with music where it helped him remember how to walk again when he had a bad skiing accident and he couldn't walk. And he listened to this Beethoven and it kind of was like physical therapy for him, but it worked on his brain. And it got to the point where he didn't even have to listen to the music. He could just think of it, and it would help him remember how to walk.
Wow.
And how amazing is that? And it reaches people so immediately. You know, you can see the differences on their monitors and vital signs and all that kind of thing in the hospital within seconds.
Wow.
It doesn't get analyzed on the way through.
It's true. And I have found that music, you know, is a very personal, but it's actually one of the, it's one of the deeper modalities that pulls us right into our inner world. And depending on the song or the music or our moods, to me it's one of the greatest. Well, because people listen to music. It's one of the most powerful modalities because people listen to music every day and it's almost like there is a primordial sound or chant that's deep in all of us.
Well, a lot of people say that the earth has its own vibration and, you know, we're responding to that in various ways. And I just feel very blessed to be able to have music. It's such an amazingly big part of my life. It's just a blessing everywhere I go. It connects me with people, it connects me with the source, and it allows me to help people connect to their own source. I mean, I just feel very lucky.
That's me. And do you find that when you work with people, it would be an easier way to walk into a room? I mean, I can't imagine anything that I would love more if I was really, really sick and I was in a lot of pain, to have someone come in and just serenade me and talk, you know, sing to me with, you know, one of the things I know is your voice is incredibly beautiful and soothing and it's very healing in its sound. It must be wonderful to be able to sit on the edge of the bed and actually touch somebody in the way that you do. And I just think the work that you do is beautiful. And I just want to encourage our listeners to integrate the music. I mean, bring music with you with the intention of creating moods and changing the environment, because it's one of the most powerful modalities.
Yeah, and feel free to make up your own songs, just like Pete Seeger said. Help you create a mood or get through something or whatever you need. And don't forget to do that when you're caregivers, to bring your loved ones the music that they love. It's so valuable.
And one of the things that music is very, very ancient. When I studied with Lane Redman, and she used music to kind of create altered states of consciousness. And even music sort of gets us into almost another way of being. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because that's very powerful. You know, how music sort of takes you into a totally different place and a different way of being.
Oh, I mean, you can use it for whatever mood you're trying to create,
mm-hmm.
whether you're trying to help someone move, like with a physical therapist, and someone maybe wants some R&B, or if you're trying to get into that meditative state, you know, like the harp, the pentatonic harp is really wonderful for that. But I'm going to put up some of these resources on my website, and I'll put them on your website too, so that people can find out more about this and more about thinking about how to integrate music into your own life more.
Tell everybody about your website. Tell everybody about that. That's really important.
Oh, my website is kathydewitt.com. That's C-A-T-H-Y-D-E-W-I-T-T. That's my main website that has a lot of things about my work with arts and medicine and resources and that kind of thing. And they also have a new project called The Traveler that was music I created to the words of a spiritual poet, James Dillard Freeman. And that's all at thetraveler.us. Thetraveler.us. And that also has my radio show that I do for Unity Worldwide Network, Healing Journeys Through Music. So check that out. You can listen. You can hear Mary Rockwood Lane being interviewed, among other people.
And Kathy has all these wonderful guests that she's been interviewing, and she's on, it's called Unity Radio. Is this right?
Yeah, Unity Online Radio, and the show is Healing Journeys Through Music.
Right.
I interviewed John McCutcheon. I put things in from Pete Seeger when I was on the Clearwater with him and got to interview him. Mary is on there, and Tina Torin from the International Heart Therapy Program. But I think we're running out of time, Mary.
Yeah, we are.
Is that right, David?
David, how are we doing for time?
Oh, we still have a few minutes. Go, guys.
Okay, Ooh. Great. Okay, great. So, Kathy, one of the things I'd love to do, is there any way in this moment we can invite the listeners to participate in one of your most beautiful chants, where we can ask, you know, invite people through, and you know, I would love to do this with you, where we create in this moment a way in which we can all come together. And I know people are listening all over the place, but and I know we won't be able to hear each other, but I do feel that we'll be able to feel each other. So I was wondering if we could just, if you could teach us a chant that we could all bring together to sort of bring that soothing and that beautiful peacefulness and joy to our hearts. And you are wonderful. Your voice is wonderful, so I would love for you to lead us in something right now.
Well, I can do it, and then people can repeat after me if they want, because
all right, I would love that.
We have a digital delay.
Okay, that's great.
So this is the power chant. I like it a lot. It's a great affirmation I use sometimes when I'm about to go into the hospital to try and remember who I am. I am the power in everyone.
I am the power in everyone.
I am the dance of the moon and the sun.
I am the dance of the moon and the sun.
I am the hope that never dies.
I am the hope that never dies.
I am the turning of the tide.
I am the turning of the tide.
I am the power in everyone. I am the dance of the moon and the sun. I am the hope that never dies. I am the turning of the tide. I am the power in everyone. I am the dance of the moon and the sun. I am the hope that never dies. I am the turning of the tide.
I am the hope in everyone. I am the turning of the tide.
Ooh, 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 oo
recording of the beautiful voice of Kathy DeWitt, to remember the beautiful voice that's within us all, and that singing and music and dancing and the arts really are the most powerful medicine. Kathy, I want to thank you so much for the beautiful work that you do with bringing the arts into the hospitals and bringing the arts into the community. You have been one of the master people in our community to return to this very ancient medicine. I want to thank you for the beautiful gifts that you bring. That's one of the most powerful things about healing with the arts, is that you share the beauty of your soul with everyone, not only on one-to-one, but with everyone. And I want to thank you for the work that you do in bringing this work back into our lives.
Well, thank you, Mary. Thanks for having me. Thank you, David. I hope I've been given people some ideas, and you can go and get more ideas from my website, kathydewitt.com. Or thetraveler.us. I also have a blog site called connectingthroughmusic.com. And it's one thing that I always have loved about music, is that it's such a great way to connect and create community. And in the hospital, if we go into a room and there's only one person, we're still creating community, but sometimes we wind up creating community with a whole group of people or a whole room full of people there. And some of the instruments that I use are the guitar, because it's an easy one to sing with, and you can sing familiar songs, you know, that people know and love. And then we have the free notes that I talked about, the little xylophone with the pentatonic tuning, kind of like I have the harp tuned right now. But the harp can also be tuned in a regular way as well, so you can use that in a variety of ways. And sometimes we've used drums, but you have to be kind of careful in that setting, because they can be kind of loud. But it's a great reason. Sometimes in the psych unit, we create a drum circle where people are all participating and doing something as a group, and that's a great thing to do too. You know, combining your energies to make music, or make rhythm, or make dance, or make art. I love when we do collaborative art too. It's really fun, and it's a great way to be able to express yourself individually, but to be able to be doing it in community as well and sharing your energies.
Thank you so much, Kathy. And, you know, you said something briefly toward the beginning of the hour about all of the benefits of this outside of a hospital setting. This is something that people can be doing at home with each other or by themselves.
Right, yeah. And that's why I said don't be afraid to sing. Remember the people who were singing, and 79% of them got intense happiness from it. So even a simple little song, you know, I like to go places and I like to say, now, if you know this song, sing it with me. And then I start, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And we get into singing that like around, and I even like the message of the song. The message of the song is very sweet. But I also like that idea where you can just take a song and put your own words to it, because some people are intimidated by the idea of writing a song, but that's an easy way to start with a familiar tune. Then all you have to write is words that are your own, so that you can find a new way to tell your own story.
Yeah, so you could do something like row, row, row your boat and make up your own words to it. You already know the tune. It'd be real easy to sing it.
Yeah, you can make up new verses. And, you know, we do that a lot with the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Then we'll sing right here in the hallway, or right here in this room, or while I'm in my bed. You know, we'll make it fit in the setting for the person who's there. Or we'll use their name. shining for David and Mary. I'm going to let it shine.
Keep singing, Kathy. I like that.
And everybody out there now, you be singing
shining
along
for
too.
David
gosh,
and
I wish
Mary,
we could do that, but
let's
you know
all
what?
Let it shine.
We really are running out of time here, much as I hate to say so.
Oh, Kathy, thank you for the pleasure and the love and the festivities and the joy that you bring to me and David and everyone who's listening, plus all the people that you work with in the hospital, and plus all the people that you play your music to all over this community. You are like a gift to all of us. You are the musician who brings us so much joy. So I just want to thank you for everything you've done, and thank you for your bravery of being able to move past your fear and worries of being able to go into a healthcare system and not be, and you know, when we were all calling you and you were like, no, I'm not going to go into a hospital. I don't like hospitals. And then you ended up going into the hospital and becoming, you know, the artist in residence to develop a music program at Shands Hospital in Gainesville, Florida, that was so powerful by bringing in pianos and bringing in musicians and having strolling musicians through the halls. You know, what you did was so beautiful, and you made it happen. And I want to thank you for, you know, actually creating this field of music, not music therapy, but just music for the sake of healing, and music as a healing modality. And all it takes is to make music, you can make the world a better place. It's so incredible.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Mary. It was turned out to be such a blessing for me, that unexpected journey that I was kicking and screaming about the whole way. You know, that's the thing. Resistance is futile.
Well, let's end with a Star Trek quote.
Yeah.
So, everybody out there, make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Thank you for being here, Kathy.
Thank you.
Guys.